Yes, present good afternoon to all of you in Radio Land. This is a special broadcast with special permission given to me by Andrew Mason.
Rally around the West Indies, one forever, yeah. Rally. Up to you and me to make sure that they fail. Soon we must take a sign or be lost in the rubble in a divided world that don't need islands no more. Are we doomed forever to be at somebody's mercy? Little key can open up mighty doors.
Critical that he does return to form in that number four or five position, because I believe Samuels is now batting ahead of him anyway.
Okay. All right. Interesting assessment. Now, the time to speak to Floyd Lamorte Reefer, the head coach of the A side, former West Indies captain as well. Floyd, nice to see you.
Hey, good evening, Andrew.
Good. Your smile must be as broad as Antigua, as broad as Jamaica, as broad as Barbados. I mean, you did so very well in the test series. You swept them, the England Lions. Well, they weren't Lions at all, really.
They were team Lions.
Yes, indeed. And then, of course, when you went to Antigua 2-1, what, in your view, was responsible for this success of the West Indies 18? Good evening to you, Floyd.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to everyone. First, let me say condolences to the family, one of our UE supporters, Ms. Marilyn Goodrich.
Oh, yes.
You know, she her funeral is today. So, mm-hmm. You know, condolences to family and friends of Marilyn. And she's a very loyal UE fan. Mm-hmm.
Yes. She's been there every day, yes.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would like to backtrack a bit. You know, I was listening to
this is your show. This is your show. You want to comment on the West Indies side, the big team?
Yes, the big team. You know, I listened to the comments carefully, you know, but we still have to look at the conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, watching the games, I thought the pitches were very good. The pitches that they played on, the games that they played on were very good. So, you know, international teams now are focusing on getting 300 runs in a 50-over game. So, guys are tailoring their games and their plans to get 300 runs. So, we could say that, you know, that the runs per overs, guys are under pressure in terms of runs per over. But when you look at all the international teams now, they're tailoring the games to get to 300. Mm-hmm. That's a minimum target, especially on the good pitches.
I've got a question for you, though. Why is it, do you think, the teams are making 300 runs down in 50-over matches? I mean, in the past, I mean, when you had fine bowlers like Andrew Roberts and company, when you got to 220, 230, 240, you reckon that was a good score to defend. But nowadays, when you make 275, you better make 300, otherwise you could lose. So why do you think the teams are scoring so many runs?
Well, Andrew, the game at the ball. The pitches are very good. Guys are, you know, practicing different shots. You know, you have a lot more shots than they used to play before. You look back at the days of Andy Roberts and when Joe Garner, those guys used to play. Mm. Yes, they were very good cricketers. Mm. But look at the shots that batters play now, and the pitches are more batting friendly. Mm.
Do you think as well that the bowling is not as good as it was in the past? Could that be a factor?
No, I disagree. The bowling is good. They have more variations. Mm. Players have more variations, have good Yorkers, way Yorkers, straight Yorkers, attacking defensive Yorkers. Mm. But it's just the pitches at international level, in 50-over cricket are very good. Mm-hmm. But it's just for batting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, batters are not afraid
anymore.
Okay. They're not afraid. You know, guys will come in and hit first ball back will be hey. Mm-hmm. So you as a bowler, you got to get your lanes and lengths, mm-hmm. you know, correct.
Kelly, just before you come, would you say that captains generally are defensive in terms of the 50 over where teams are making 300 runs as well?
No, I would say that most teams, most captains look for wickets in the middle of overs.
In the middle of overs,
yeah.
Okay.
In any cricket match, once you get wickets, you always put by the scoring rate.
Right.
But in team plans, teams try to get maximum the first 10 overs, the power play.
Right, okay, fine.
And the power play is different. We have two players up to the circle, obviously, in the first 10.
Right.
So teams try to maximize that. Mm-hmm. And then now you have better more all-rounders instead of a 50-over setup. But you can go hard at the top, like at England, for instance. They go hard right through the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they've been playing very good 50-over cricket. Mm-hmm. They have developed players that can go hard from one down to number nine.
Right, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So they have their game plan. Mm-hmm. What we have to do in terms of like single cricket now is to find out what is our style of play. Mm-hmm. You know, how we play, how we're going to approach, how we're going to get 300 runs. Mm-hmm. Because if Gale and Lewis don't get off at the top, who's the next person that's going to do the job?
I see. Interesting thoughts. Of course, we've got the head coach of the West Indies A-team in the studio, Floyd Reefer, former West Indies captain as well. I know you've got a question for him, but of course, you've got to make some money here. So let's pause for business cause when we come back to you, Pearson. Of course, Mason and Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at Bombers, starting promoting youth sport and culture.
With the trucks and cash, scratch and win game from the Barbados Lottery. We're giving away Toyota trucks and $4,000 towards insurance. Plus, play for your chance to win over $2.8 million in cash prizes.
Yes, we come back to Pearson with a question for Floyd.
Yeah, it wasn't really a question. Then you asked him what the team perceived to be the reason why teams are making 300 runs. I made 3 notes regularly.
Okay.
And basically, a few of them tell what he said. I said, more than things, the admin. The other thing was the fee restrictions.
Yeah.
Because that has changed from when teams start to play one day.
Yeah.
The other thing was the power play. Remember, I had one power play once, you know, you have a power play at the back end.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other thing I said here was improvement in lower order batting. Mm. Because I mean, he alluded to that England, using England as a benchmark, that down to number 9 would come in and be careful with the bat.
The only thing I disagree with, I don't think the bowling is as good today as it was before. And I disagree in that I think that teams are generally defensive. And I think also in 50-over cricket, there are too many singles allowed. I find that generally a lot of the captains are defensive. So therefore, you would have a situation where 15 for 1 or 15 for 2. And you have your long on, you have your long on. And I don't find that captains are as aggressive. And I don't think the bowling is as good in 50-over cricket today as it was before.
Yeah, that would be my... I agree with you. If you look at bowlers, pound for pound, when you go to your holdings, your cross, your rubbers, your releases, your Mike Hendricks in England, and you go to Dennis Healy and your Thompson, your Matthews and so on, you come right down the line to Marshall and so on, Courtney Walsh, Ambrose, etc. It's obvious that the bowlers of today cannot compare with those of former years. They cannot. Right? What would happen is that in each team where we get from, each team has an outstanding bowler. If you look at the South African team, right now, Steen is not playing. So, Ribada is that outstanding bowler. And Philander to some extent. You go to England, you look at Anderson. Take Anderson off the team. You go to Australia and you will find Stark. Take Stark with the team. Somebody will emerge, obviously. Somebody will counter my analysis with saying somebody will emerge. But they take time to emerge.
But there's more to Australian Stark.
No, I understand. But I'm
but then make the correction.
He is the outstanding.
No, don't go there.
No, he
don't
is.
Go. Look at the other bowlers.
He is the one that's funny. Understand that. But
take him on the same call.
He is the outstanding bowler. Every team had an outstanding. Marshall was awesome. Whether or not we like it or not, all the rest were great.
Yeah.
But Malcolm Marshall was the outstanding bowler. He had Thompson with him and others, but Lily was the outstanding bowler.
Who did Marshall play with?
Marshall played with
Marshall, he
yes.
played with Roberts.
Outstanding bowler.
Right, but he superseded all the managers.
Who else did Malcolm Marshall play with?
He played all of them. He had Sylvester Clark.
Outstanding bowler
right.
as well.
But I'm saying there's always one bowler.
Yes.
And they want to argue if you disagree that there's always one bowler in every team, whether it's Muir Litteran, whether it's Coolness in England, whoever you choose, there's one bowler.
There's only 10 overs, though. I mean,
I'm talking generally.
Right.
I'm not talking about any form of cricket.
Right.
Each team would have that outstanding bowler.
Okay.
The one that is above the others.
But the great batch and Jaisuria, that mindset has now been replicated among lots of other people.
Right.
And the psychology and the pressures on bowlers has changed a lot because batsmen run singles and twos a lot easier.
Convert.
So the pressure of having a few twos building up is the same as having a boundary hit early.
Mm.
So it means that the bowlers are unable to keep the lines that they initially wanted to. More experimentation,
right.
More adjustment from the batsmen. So, you know, five runs and over now is decent.
Let Floyd come in on the Africa trip. I believe that years ago,
Anfield and
the former cricketers, even though they were fit, can't compare to the fitness levels we see now.
The fitness levels now are totally different.
I have
a much higher standard.
Even in the West Indies side?
I
don't see that at all. I disagree.
I think the West Indies side is unfit. Because again, India, compared to national standard, you know, I'll be working towards getting to that national standard. Well, our running is really a big problem throughout all levels of our cricket.
Well, I think as Floyd had alluded to earlier, singles and so on. A lot of players never did a lot of running like that.
So let me ask you, Pearson, do you think the West Indies side is as fit now as it was before?
Not in the current crop.
Okay,
right. The crop, the team where they was with was the conditioning person, the physio.
Right.
That was an outstanding team. When you look at the fitness of those guys, I mean, the
Richardses and the Lloyds and the Greenwiches and so on.
Right.
Marshalls.
These guys never really had a lot of major injuries.
Right.
And the recovery time was very short. You know,
right.
Short recovery from injuries. But fitness is also a personal thing. I'm sure Floyd as the head coach was. They can only unravel the program for each player and the team generally.
Right.
But at any given, I'm sure Floyd was saying he had to look after his own fitness as an individual as well.
And he was pretty fit.
Now you can look at Floyd. Now Floyd can easily walk into the best new team and make some of the other guys look.
He's looking fit. I mean, he was away in Jamaica. He didn't actually get off it, but he trained. I'm sure he did. No fitness, of course, Floyd, is of great importance, and fielding is of great importance as well.
Yes, it is, Andrew. Fitness is important, and cricket West Indies working with the franchise and the players trying to get the fitness levels up to international standard.
Right.
So the franchises have a lot to do in terms of getting everything on board, with the fitness regime, and getting the players around the Caribbean as fit as possible, at least to that international standard.
Now, before we talk about the West Indies A team, do you think the West Indies will qualify here in Zimbabwe? Do you have any concerns at all?
I don't have any concerns. Definitely, they will qualify. They're still the best team in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that all the guys have gotten scores. Juan, Gil have gotten a score. Lewis, he got the score already. Marlon Sammons just got a score. Rob Apollo got two scores. So all the batters have gotten some scores already. So it's important now that, when it comes down to the Super Sixes, that really guys really have to turn it and put all those scores together. But I'm confident that the guys will do well. The team is going in there with lots of confidence. I still have, young Jarlis Brafit. I still think that he can be, a match winner as well. He will put in some performances as the competition get a bit tougher.
Right.
He's going to show up.
Hazy Ben is listening then. Can he says, good evening, Andrew. We're listening. Where are the congratulations to Floyd Weaver? And he's also saying that you are very
good, you're successful. And he's also saying that one day he will be the head coach of the West Indies side. He knows the game. Of course, he's a reefer.
Thank you very much.
Indeed. And you know Hensley Benn.
Yes.
Of course, a good old Hensley Benn. Now, would he be your coach when you played youth cricket?
No, he was a manager
on their side, yes, of course. Now, let's get now to the West Indies A team. My question to you, Floyd, what is responsible for the success? England Lions came, they went to Jamaica, they were in Trelawney, deep in road Jamaica, then they came to the capital, Kingston, and they were beaten badly by the West Indies side. Now, they came to Antigua, you won 2-1. What's responsible for the success?
It's a combination of things, Andrew. First, the coaching staff, the management team. We all work well together. We try to instill the importance of playing cricket for a cause and a purpose. That's how we started out in the initial meeting with the guys. You know, it's important to have a purpose and play for a cause. So once these young men realize within themselves the cause and the purpose, then we could come up with a team purpose of playing. Mm-hmm. Of playing West Indies cricket again. Mm-hmm. Talk about Pride of the Maroons.
Mm-hmm.
Right, talk about that. That was very important to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And respect for A-team cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also very crucial in terms of what came out of the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, we started off, we had that common purpose and that cause in terms of what we want to play for within the series. Obviously, England came down and underestimated us. They thought that, they thought that they had an easy walkover. But we planned well. The coaches came together. We planned. We had a lot of meetings. I thought that young Powell did a good job.
Good job as captain.
Yeah, did a very good
and captain. Knows the game apparently.
Yes, he knows the game. Mm-hmm.
Then is he a quiet man? Is he a quiet guy?
the other two games, and you got lots of minor part. You know, we talk about the pitcher, he's about 300 runs scored every day.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So at the minor part, the pitch is very good. Mm. At Antigua as well, the pitch is good.
Okay, wonderful.
So if it's Jeff Trelawney, you know, you had a little more challenge in terms of the pitch spinning a bit more than normal.
We're going to talk about something.
And it's still on there, too.
Right.
They had us 140 for it.
Yes.
Maybe the brilliant partnership between Warwick County.
Yeah, we got to talk about that, yeah.
No worries. But on 160 all right.
Well, wonderful. We're going to talk about some individual performances there pretty soon. You know, at the end of it, there's a young man called Kimo Paul that you would have managed. He's now in Zimbabwe. Tell us about this young man.
Actually, the first time I really saw him play cricket was on this tour. And I was impressed. Mm-hmm. I was excited when he first joined the team. And mm-hmm. as soon as he came to the Nets, you know, we were just having a close eye on him. Mm-hmm. You know, he has the ability to swing the ball both ways.
Yes.
He's a very good fielder. Mm-hmm. Also, he has capabilities with the body. He has good striking ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he plays some instinct. Just off instinct. He's an instinctive player,
mm-hmm.
which is good. You know, which is good. As he goes on, then obviously his situation, awareness, his games and stuff. There's things that he has to learn
mm-hmm.
as he go on and get more experience. But his instinct is good.
Yeah,
I like him. You know, he's a cricketer.
So you weren't surprised when he was selected?
No, I wasn't surprised. But, in the game that he played, the third test match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he bowled aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he bumped out the captain. You know, and some bought some aggressive sharp balls
mm-hmm.
and bought some good areas.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a lot of things, you know, you still got to work on.
Right.
And our Roddy Eswick pointed out that, you know, some stuff that he has to change in terms of his bowling.
Right.
That can obviously increase his pace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has the ability to bowl fast.
I'll tell you, I saw him in Guyana when Barbados played against Guyana. At the Providence Stadium, and I was impressed. I think he won the game, and you mentioned the word aggression. He both beautifully moved the ball both ways, and I think he's certainly a find, and I really like him. In fact, Zoe Barty was on our show 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he pointed out that he's a player for the future. But we also will go to Guyana now and talk to his dad, who I believe is on the line now, David Paul. Hello, David, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, sir.
All right, not too bad, sir. All right, you put him in the back foot of the music by saying not too bad, sir. You must have been an extremely happy man with your son going off to Zimbabwe.
Yes, well, you know, they expected.
Oh, that's expected. Okay, all right. But tell us how happy you are, though. How happy you are.
Well, not only me, the entire mm-hmm. family, along with relatives. We more than overjoyed because you know, it's something that we accept, but it come at a time I was thinking about later on in the year or probably next year. But when we get the news, we very much was overjoyed it is.
Indeed. What part of Guyana are you from? What part of Guyana are you from?
Well, actually, I originated from Barbies, but
you're Barbadian, okay.
But I'm a Ethiopian right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we born and Kimo was born in Saskatchewan. Based up in the Ethiopian River.
Oh, I see. Is that very far from Georgetown?
Yes, actually, 45 and 65 is like 120 miles.
120 miles?
Yeah, wrong way. You are from Georgetown, so you have to drive to Porica, then you have to take the boat and head for Saskatchewan. That will be like about, it's close to Barica. Very close to Barica.
Barica. So after the games, because I know with interest that the Guyana side, they didn't stay in hotels. What I know was that you were waiting for your son. You then went across the road, caught a minibus, and then you went home.
Yes. Mm. Yes, that is. Actually, what happened, they didn't stay at the hotel. They traveled from home to stay at the stadium. So when we left the stadium, you got to go and you get a bus from the bridge, cross over the Demerara Harbour Bridge. And then from there, you go to a village you call Bonita Ida. It's like on the west coast of Demerara, not far from Lenora. So every day he travel from early in the morning, head for the stadium, and then in the afternoon he head back to Bonny Lido and get himself ready for the next morning. So,
That's very interesting, you know. I mean, at this stage, here's a young man who just made the West Indies side, who would have to travel far, because in Ghana, they don't pick up the players. So he would have to maybe take a boat, a mini bus, go over the river or whatever, and he was very much at the ground. And I could see his father just waiting for him in the evening, and I just saw the two of them together, and I saw them walking across them, and they took the mini bus and went across the river. But of course, that's all part of the sacrifice, David.
Yes. You see, it started from since he was 3 years old.
Okay.
The sacrifice started from since he was 3 years old. You see, as for Dr. Kali, the only means of transportation is a boat.
Oh, I see.
There's no boat. It's a smaller Amerindian community. Mm-hmm. And use the boat most of the time. So the boat goes to school, the boat coming back from school. So I had to be going up to Dr. Kali, collect him with the boat, bring him home, and when we come home in the afternoon, he wanted the ball right away.
Mm.
So the tackle started from there. It's from Anna. He finished primary.
Mm-hmm.
After primary education, we head to Wakenham. Because there's no secondary school up in the Essequibo River. So we had to head up to Wakenham. There is where he do his secondary education. And there is where he start playing the hardball cricket.
Oh, I see.
Up at Kali, play only the hardball cricket. No hardball cricket because we didn't have pitches and so on out there. But at the age of 5, 6, he was already hitting the ball all over in the river.
Mm.
So start playing hardball cricket at age 11 after doing the common entrance, which we call the FSC examination in Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
It's from there, from Wakenham, at Wakenham, that played the hardball cricket. And The fourth year he played for Wakenham Secondary School, Essequibo Island Secondary School, the matter of fact. Played against a team called Leguan. Scored 56, and from there on to now, that's how we are. That's the way he going all the time. Actually, every debut, he scored an half century. Actually, every debut, he scored an half century. He takes some wickets. So, keep the momentum from age 11 on to now.
Indeed. And do you get a chance to watch him all the time? Do you ever miss matches when he's playing?
All the time, Andrew. Never miss a game yet. I travel the whole of Guyana.
Isn't that wonderful?
I travel the whole of Guyana. When he when he starts playing the under 15,
mm-hmm.
The under 15, you call it the county in Guyana, because at the time he had three counties, Guyana, and people that are on board. So he represented the state. So from the time he started playing his fourth and the 15th game, it was right at the stadium against Bobby's. play against Jim and Estimaya in that game. Got Estimaya from Bobby's.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the fourth game was right at the stadium to make a century forcing in against Bobby's. So I traveled all parts of Guyana, Essequibo, Bobby's, Demerara, still up to Rosal, still up to Albion.
Mm-hmm.
I never miss a game. I never miss a match that played.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Wonderful, David. He has any brothers and sisters, Kimo?
Yes. Four sisters and two brothers.
Four sisters and two brothers. Seven.
Yeah.
But David, you're a pretty active man.
Well, you know.
Seven. Oh, my golly. It's all the pineapples you're eating up in Essequibo, man.
Pardon me?
It's all the pineapples you're eating in Essequibo.
Yes, we grow a lot of pineapple at Dr. Kali, man.
I know. Hence the seven. Well, I'm going to let you go now, but I thought it was important to have you on. You must be an extremely happy man. Your son has made it. I think he's a wonderful young cricketer. I saw him against Barbados. I was very impressed with him. I came back to this program. I spoke about him, and we had people talking about it, and head coach Floyd Rivers. I haven't seen a great living, but it's impressive what he's seen so far. And I'm sure that all of Guyana, your family, must be extremely happy with Kemo Paul's progress so far in cricket.
Yes, well, he's doing quite well, and make everybody proud and happy. Not only myself and my family and relatives, but we also have associates who have been following him all the time, friends, and everybody is grateful for this doctor so far. Thank God for that, because without God, nothing is possible.
Indeed. My final question to you, as a proud father, what advice would you give to young cricketers? Kemo Paul has made it. He's got a long way to go. What advice would you give as a proud father?
Keep focus. Dedication, sacrifice. You got to keep focused. You see, a distraction out there. A lot of distraction out there. And when you decide to work on your game, you have to maintain that kind of momentum and keep focused all the time. That is the kind of advice I would give to them. And you got to make sacrifices. You can't get things easy. If you have to work hard. You have to work hard. You know, things don't come just like that. You have to work hard to achieve that thing.
Oh,
and you have to. You also have to like this sport. You can't reach to the top in any field sport without you don't like this sport. You know, it's hard to reach on top without a love for the sport. You gotta love it. If you love it, you will just fall. You know, just go to a certain and you will stop.
Well, David, I want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. You're extremely proud. Good to see young Kemo Paul coming through, and we will talk to you again pretty soon. Thanks for your contribution on our program.
Yes, Andrew, I want to say thanks for having me.
All right. There you have it. David Paul, the son of the father of Kemo. I mean, he's really, really done an extremely good job with his son. Always there for him, and I'm sure he must be an extremely happy man along with the other members of his family, and of course, Guyana. So, we're going to pause for business calls, and of course, we're going to do that pretty, pretty soon. But let's go back, of course, to the head coach. We can also invite you to call as well, 4341790, and join in this discussion a little bit later on the show. We're going to be hearing from Sir Vivian Richards, and of course, we're also going to be hearing from Jeffrey Boyce. But let's go back now to head coach Floyd Reefer. I know you spoke of some performances, but Jamal Warrican, I mean, what a performance from him.
Yes, brilliant. No, brilliant, Andrew. The first, actually, he got 30 more wickets in the series. Mm-hmm. But after the first innings, in the first game, he only had one wicket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, Roddy Eswick and myself spoke to him in terms of him bowling, throwing around instead of bowling around the wicket.
Oh, dear, interesting.
Okay, so he kind of changed the angle a bit, you know. After discussion between Roger and myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, we changed the angle from him coming from turning around to coming straight from a straighter angle, which obviously he got good results. You know, he bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came out the next morning, mm-hmm. at the session the next morning on day two, and he tried it. And from there, it was success because obviously the angles kind of changed now. From coming from turning around to straight.
Mm-hmm.
He has a straighter approach to the wicket, so he gets more spin on the ball, more body into the action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it worked well for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he bought into it. And that is obviously from the beginning, in terms of how you set the tone, you know, for your dressing room and have confidence in players, and players have confidence in the coaches, you know, to try different things.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, and I know Floyd did do a good job. I don't give marks very easily, but I would say no. I'm serious. I
know you for years.
No. But I think you're doing a good job. In fact, I hope someday that you'll go all the way, because this is what we need in our cricket: people who understand the game and the success of.
Oh, you're continuing to highlight.
No, but I mean, I've always given you praise as a tactician. I mean, we see it at the BUWI Saturday after Saturday, and that's important. I. In know, I value the performance of someone like yourself. We can take a couple of calls as well. Let's go and take our first call. Hello, welcome to Mason and Guest.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Hi, greetings to everybody in the studio.
Okay.
Floyd, this is Stephen Bishop.
Hi, good evening.
Oh.
You know, special congratulations. The achievement of the team is, you know, it's come at an opportune time. West Indies cricket has been struggling. The England Lions is an especially strong team, a team that is always together. It's actually a permanent year team. And some years ago, I discussed with, it was a dream of Selector Brown, Chairman Mr. Brown, to have a permanent year team in the West Indies, so that you have a permanent feeder into the senior team.
Correct.
I'd like to see, you know, and it's no surprise that I think that Floyd has done so well. I think coaching is his strength. He's very passionate about it. He's, you know, he works very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like you mentioned, he has a philosophy that I think makes him fit for the next step. He's approaching the perfect age for a coach. A coach really achieves his best at the age where he can be a father for the most part to the players.
Hmm. The perfect age, what do you mean with that?
Well, you know, he's 46 or so, and most of the players will be in the 20s.
Okay.
So it's perfect for him to lend that bigger sort of approach.
At 46?
Yes.
Okay, very nice.
Approaching the perfect age.
Okay, very nice.
One of some of the things I'd like to see is a continuity of the A team, whereby his work is not just left where it has been, but that he takes the team, he takes his players forward. And by forward, what I mean is that there's a return leg of the A team to England in June, I think it is. I was informed.
Can you confirm this, Floyd?
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
that has not been announced.
I got it from a source that.
Okay, so you'll give us a scoop then on Mason and Guest. You're saying that there's going to be, and you know, I know you're very close to the actors. I know you're very close to Courtney Brown as well.
I'm not as close as I used to be, but yeah, I
thank you, Rex.
And wonderful. So you will have also an India A team.
Oh, coming. When would that India team be coming?
I don't have specs with me, you know, right there. But there'll be an India.
It can't be too far.
The West Indies A team will play some 4-day tests. I imagine I've been told with the West Indies about. So you have a tri series,
right?
And then you have a point where the West Indies A team will play a 4-day test against the England A team.
India A team. So England and India.
Yes, England. Okay. No, you can't get any better than that in terms of development.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Right? I like to see that in between now and June, because I know of the work Floyd has done. And Andrew, I'll tell you, this is next level work. You know? This is the real stuff. This is the sort of stuff that big coaches do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I like to see continuity between now and then, where he has follow-ups with the players. And the players who he would have had in the series.
Right.
So that when he takes this team to, because no doubt from here is, you know, it's A team level and up. I mean, I don't think there could be any doubt that it's A team level and up for Floyd from here on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he can't not make the grade. He makes the grade on qualification. I know intimately enough that, I mean, he's Australian level 3 qualifier. You don't need anything more than that. His record speaks for itself. His counting of talent speaks for itself. And, you know, one of the dreams come true is both of these are my students.
Mm.
And it's lovely to see Courtney and Floyd working together and shaping West Indies cricket. It's absolutely wonderful.
Stephen, if I can interrupt you, so someday you hope that Floyd will be head coach of the West Indies.
Oh yeah, in 2 years he'll be right for that job.
And you seem to be a man of influence too.
Say that again.
You seem to be a man of influence.
not that much influence. Not that much influence. It's not like, just a little village boy.
Mm.
But in 2 years' time, he will be within 2 years' time.
Right.
To quote correctly, within 2 years' time, mm-hmm. he will be perfect for the head coach job of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I have absolutely no doubt.
I support that as well.
He has a philosophy that I have not seen in Essendon's coach
right.
or heard of in a Essendon's coach. He, I mean, I can tell you the things he believes in because we chat.
Mm.
So I know the things he believes in.
Right.
He's worked hard. Mm. He's worked hard.
Mm.
He's planned well. He's done all these things. So that he should reach that level.
He's a strategist as well.
Oh yeah, and he has seemingly, you know. If you look at some of the players that he has, look, sometimes we need to beat home drums, eh? And he has brought players through that CCC system who have gone on, and he hasn't always had the credit that he has deserved. The Waltons, Chadwick Waltons, the Finn Rothman Powell.
Right.
On earth, some of these boys, I mean, sometimes they don't quite.
I think Shamar Holder.
Shamar Holder.
Yeah, I think he's a good sign.
Shamar Holder.
Mm.
And So let's wish him the best.
Mm-hmm.
Watch his progress.
Right.
And give him the support.
Mm.
You know, and we'll see a coach who with a philosophy, a work ethic, and the ability to get these young men to trust in them. And like you said at the start, you just know to play with a purpose. To play with a purpose for themselves and more importantly to play with a purpose for the region. But you can't do it unless there's continuity. You cannot drop the A team now and pick them back up a week in June and suddenly expect that, you know, there's been progress. He has the Western cricket, you talk about systems, the Western cricket has to develop a system within the coming months where these boys see Floyd. Whether they come to him or he goes to them, you know, it doesn't really matter. Barbados and university system has the infrastructure to ideally house them and train them. So let's hope we get some of that. There are some of the players who don't go off to the different leagues, come to Barbados, and he, based on his notes of these players, he will be able to take them forward.
All right.
Let's hope for that, Andrew. Andrew, note that point, and I hope you push that point. You cannot, players do well with constant good training.
Yes.
So bring now some of the Remo Paul, sorry, Timo Paul,
yes.
Timo Paul, when he returns, the best place for him would be at a camp in Barbados under the guidance of Floyd and coach. And, and not don't let us forget Coach Eswick.
Mm.
Because coaching is a team job. No
right.
one man takes all the credit. Huh?
Mm.
That's why in football, when a guy moves from one club to the next, he moves with his team.
Right.
Phil Jackson wasn't the person who developed the triangle offense in basketball, but his team was always with him.
Mm.
So we let's hope that we get these players together often enough. He can have them to work with, and he can build them up. And in 2 years, let's give you a model. In 2 years, these are the players that will be at the front of West Indies cricket, the players coming through the AT.
Right.
For the most part. And then the same Floyd Reefer will be guiding these players. By then, he would have built up a strong bond of trust.
Mm-hmm.
He would know them inside out.
Mm-hmm.
He would develop their skills.
Mm-hmm.
You can't want for a better platform, right, than for us to support this man. And across the region, he's a Caribbean man. If you see how his selection is even being shaped differently, done at the university, where he's going to other nations and scouting talent. It's not a Barbados thing. It's a West Indies thing.
It's a West Indies thing.
It's a West Indies thing, yes. And he's clearly demonstrated that he's a man for the West Indies cause, not a Barbados cause.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Floyd again. I say congratulations, hearty congratulations.
Thanks.
To you and the team, you and the coaching team, and you and the playing team.
Right.
I know how much it meant to you that they did well. I had a few conversations with Chairman Brown during the course of the series.
Oh, so you see, you're close to Brown then, so I wasn't wrong.
I'm close to Brown.
Oh, I know you had a little bond there with good old Courtney.
Right. So it's been good work. It's been all positive. I like
right.
I like bond. I like what I've heard from on both sides.
Right.
I like the work that they've done together.
Mm.
That's just what it is. It's a
Stephen, Stephen, before you go, do you listen to the show a lot?
I listen to it from time to time, Andrew. I used to listen more when I was closer to the players, but most of the players I'm closer to now are not playing anymore. They're in administration.
I
still keep close enough to, you know, every now and then to know what's going on. I'm not as close to the cricket as I used to be some years ago.
All right. You sound good, Stephen, and keep up that big name, Bishop. I like that name. thanks for your contribution.
Thanks, Andrew. Continue. Pardon me?
Yeah, I said thank you for your contribution. You're making a call.
Thanks a lot for having me, and all the best, Lloyd, and good luck, guys. Have a good evening. I'll continue to listen to the show.
All right. We can take some more calls, can we? 4241790. Hello, welcome. Here's the new guest.
Yes, please, Andrew.
Oh, Randolph. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. If you would permit me first, before I make my contribution.
Yes.
And to your special guest there, Mr. Reefer.
Good evening.
Before I make my... you know, you have a friend who don't support the team that me and you support, who generally would eat his socks.
Really?
If he should long.
Really?
Right. But you know, we beat him on Saturday. And I wonder if he'd eaten his shoe. Yeah. I wonder if he'd eaten his shoe because Jeremy would eat his sock.
Don't ever run behind his back.
No, I'm not talking behind his back. I'm talking to Andrew.
Yeah, indeed. And I've got my shoes off.
So, first, let me say congratulations to Mr. Reefer.
Yes.
Because of the work that you've done in his first outing as coach of the A-team. Hope I'm right in saying his first thing as coach of the A-team. And listening to him speak, I like the tone of voice that he's carrying, I'm sure when he's speaking to the players, that he's carrying, as I think Paul's father was saying, when he was talking about a father situation. And the guy there, Bishop. And I get this big impression that guy's not from St. Philip anyhow. And I just spoke.
We listen to James, man.
Oh, my God, he had you in trouble. I listened to him and I can tell you he's not a Philippine.
No, he's not a Philippine.
I listened to him.
Not even a twang.
Right, I would listen to words and they weren't coming across.
He's not from the Republic.
No, he's not from the Republic.
No.
And listening to Mr. Reefer speaking, I recognize that his tone of voice, it's the type of tone that would inspire people.
Right.
He's not coming across like he's a regimental sergeant.
No. Very quiet and cool. He's like Obama.
There's a great degree of fierceness behind what he's saying, but it's being done in a very cool manner. He's very firm in what he's saying, but it's in a very cool manner.
Right.
So therefore, you don't want the person to be frightened for him.
Right.
You know, when he speak and he talk with them, you want them to understand, and you know, you want them to develop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want a situation between he and the staff that everybody should be working in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, if you go back and listen to the tapes, you would recognize that the return, the 18, it was said on your program that they would be going to England in June.
Mm-hmm.
And it was said on your program.
Mm-hmm. Roland Holder?
I'm not going to say who said it, Andrew, but it was said on your program. You seem not to listen and take notes.
No, Roland. Holder actually said that at the very beginning. I think it was the very first show we had.
But I'm telling you, it was said there, not said by who.
But I'm telling you, it was said by.
Anyhow.
And I did make a note.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
But you
I'm just trying to be funny there with Stephen.
And
this is precisely one of the reasons why we have Roland Holder on the show, because he provides so much information.
Yeah. No, I'd like to also commend the West Indies team for the work that they've put in.
Right.
And technically, you should be a stronger team than the others. See how they are around the Super Six scores, and I think they should get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to play good cricket, or continue to play good cricket, in order to succeed. Don't take anything for granted. But also, must bring the tambourine rod now. When you talk with better bowlers, if 50 over pitches are deal board pitches. So Andy Robertson didn't want to scare anybody now in this day. Yes, they were good bowlers, but the wickets were not prepared for test cricket. Mm. 50 over wickets are not test wickets.
Well, you're not going to agree with you on that. I don't agree with that.
You don't have to agree.
I'm just saying that it is my view that the pitches are not let me go from a different angle. We keep talking in the Caribbean about not having fast bowlers, and that's true. I've seen men on very good pitches bowl quickly. I've seen men on pitches bowl quickly, and if you're quick, sometimes it doesn't matter what kind of pitch you have, you know.
Yeah, but
And we had fast bowlers who went to India and saw pitches and bowl well.
Yeah, but Andrew, you recognize...
I saw Tino Best already at 21, 22 at Border. I don't know if Floyd played that match. We beat Guyana in a day and a half. Tino Best ran everybody. I saw Malcolm Marshall when he was in November of his career at Border bowling very quickly. They said that Border was a pitch that had no pace.
Anyhow, I'm not going to discuss Tino Best tonight. I leave Tino Best on the side. Now,
and you should.
All I'm going to say also, now, my only concern now, we have a lot of fast bowlers around.
Mm.
But what my concern is...
A lot of fast bowlers. What do you mean by that?
We have a lot of fast bowlers around.
Mm.
A lot coming out. But you know what our problem is?
Yeah.
They're becoming injured too quickly and too early in their game.
Okay.
Mm. Because in some instances, they are promoted and rushed too early. And anytime you are in anything and you do not develop the basics properly and come along, you will struggle at an early stage. The basics in any sport is vitally important for your development in any game, anything you're doing. And I think this could be a problem that we have. Too much fellas are suffering with tight strain, pulling muscles,
right,
shoulder injury, because the basic rudiments of the thing are not being coached to them in such a way. They're young and strong and energetic, but it's not going to be all. You need to, when you heard about Sylvester Hall now, who bowled a whole day, none of these youngsters know, as they put in four or three overs, they go down to long on or long off the field. Right, but we need to coaches who are coaching these young fast bowlers. They need to give them, do some training with them that would allow them to bowl for a very long time.
Randolph, we certainly got to get a comment from Floyd on that.
Right,
I'm sure you'd be only too keen to comment. We want to thank you for coming through and talking to us.
You're welcome.
Right, and continue to listen to your favorite show. All right. Mason and Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at Bob and Stoffery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Scratch off with the Trucks and Cash Scratch and Win game from the Barbados Lottery. We're giving away Toyota trucks and $4,000 towards insurance. Plus, play for your chance to win over $2.8 million in cash prizes.
All right, you can keep the WhatsApp messages coming in 253-4679 and not 78. So let me repeat that. 253-4679. We got a WhatsApp coming in from Michael Lashley, the minister there. I wanted his campaign in. He says, hello, Michael, cousin Michael. He's saying, Andrew, I like the look of Romario Shepherd. Could you ask Floyd Reef about him? Young Shepherd from Dan. Have you seen a lot of him? Young Shepherd?
Yeah.
He got some work to do?
He did it last 50 of a game for us in Antigua. Obviously, you know, he has a lot of work, a lot of work that has to be done with him. And the morning coach, Roger Effrey, you know, pointed out a good few stuff that he has to work on.
Okay.
In terms of his run-up, you know, his approach to the wicket, you know, how he risks position, you know, he collapses at the crease, but he has, you know, he's a very strong man.
Strong.
So he has, you know, good positive things about him as well, but... No,
Is he quickish? Sure.
He's quickish.
Quickish.
But he can bowl quicker.
He can bowl quicker.
These fellas bowl more too quick balls, but once, you know, we get the alignment right and, you know, the biomechanics going,
right,
you know, these guys can bowl much quicker than you see. And it goes for a lot of the guys in the Caribbean.
Right.
You know what Mr.
Mr. Bergrave say is correct. You know, we have a good crop of fast bowlers, but obviously you have to go about in terms of how they're being prepared.
Mm.
You talk about strength and conditioning, which is important. You know, for any young fast bowler to develop, must be strong. That's important, fitness level as well. And then we have to embrace the science of the game. You know, we in the Caribbean, we don't embrace the science of the game. And all Australia and England and those guys, they
explain what you mean by that.
All those guys, they look at what we were doing very well in the 80s, all the great fast bowlers we had in the 80s, and they modify everything. So we gotta get involved in the science of the game. That's important for us. You know, we have a good crop of fast bowlers. I mean, look at Jamaica. Jamaica have leverage.
Right.
Guy Olding Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another guy that was pretty great as well in Jamaica. No, Barbados.
Thomas, young Ocean. Thomas yeah, Sharp. Big guy.
Mm-hmm. You know, in Barbados, you have young Shamar Holder. You have young Harding.
Harding Sharp as
well. Kimo Paul as well. You know, he has the potential that he can bowl much quicker than he bowls right now. He has good alignment at the crease, but obviously, it's, you know, if you get technically in his hand position.
Oh, it's not there.
Mm-hmm. Not right. So,
okay.
Again, there's a lot that can be done. All the fast bowlers in the region, that we will have 10 or 12 out and out fast bowlers. Miguel Cummings.
Yes, indeed.
But Floyd, how do you explain cricketers being exposed to coaching from 10, 11, coming all the way through, and then someone gets to an A-team tour, and you can see so many rudimentary things wrong with their method. How does that happen with our world of excessive coaching?
It goes back to the coaching at on the 15, on the 17, on the 19 levels. Myself, a systematic way how we coach the players coming through the system. You know, the coaching, I think that, you know, we should focus more on coaching development. Guys coming through the system, it's a process. There's a systematic way in terms of how our guys coming through the process should be coached. So when you get to franchise level and A-team level, that you mean we don't have that much work to do in terms of development. We just, when these guys get to that level, we just be preparing them mentally for international cricket. And they should have all the skills. You know, we should not be seeing guys falling over the wicket when they're batting. We should be seeing guys with poor alignments that cause injury.
Yes.
So that's what you see a lot of.
So Randolph was talking about injury. Yeah. Like someone in leverage, he's got basically, he's always injured. Well, what would you say to him? Leverage.
Well, I saw leverage ball in Jamaica. Actually, the first time I saw him ball at Barbados, I was very impressed.
Right.
Yeah, pace, you know, and actually he brought up people came.
Yes, they have to see him. Yes, he played against Barbados, and he ran Shane Durrish too.
He brought up Andrew. So he bowled quickly at everybody. It's not a matter who got run off the pitch, but he bowled.
I saw that. He's a nice squirrel.
He bowled very quick. Kesselton, and people came out to watch him more. So obviously, you know, he had something in him. He had to go for it.
Right.
And so that's the story as well, picking him on the 18th.
Yes.
So in terms of the development of how he goes back to his franchise, what's being done to develop leverage, or what's being done to develop Paul, or what's being done to develop Shamar Holder, all those guys that are budding fast bowlers.
Well, you saw, you mentioned Kimo Paul being able to move the ball both ways, and you saw Rabada take the 11 wickets and reverse swinging and getting the ball to move both ways. Why do you think we don't have more bowlers that have this skill?
We have bowlers that have the skill. You know, Brandon's being coached by Otis Gibson. Otis Gibson's one of the best bowling coaches in the world. He's the best bowling coach in the world. I don't know if you guys are related, but Saints Otis joined South Africa. Brandon's bowling 26 kilometers quicker.
Yes, he is.
So that's a big difference. So the knowledge of the game, obviously, as a bowling coach, or this is very knowledgeable about the game. So as I say, it comes down again to, you know, coaches being able to pinpoint these different things as guys grew up at on the 15 or the 17 level. So that when they get to that stage, the stage of A-team cricket and franchise cricket, that you know, we don't have to be pinpointing all these different things.
type of bowling, a coach looking for fast bowlers.
Was it really? Okay.
Yeah. Mm. You know, some fast bowlers in the rugby region as a talent station.
Okay.
Fast bowlers.
And that's supposed to come on stream pretty soon?
Yeah, it's a university, it's on board in terms of, you know, talent scouting. We do a lot of
You've gone around a lot, coaching for the university.
Yes,
in Jamaica and in Trinidad, all of even went to Anguilla.
Yes, we found the goal in the villages.
Playing fast bowlers.
Yes, we went all up in the hills and the villages.
There's a lawyer called Egyptian.
Who's this?
No, the people have been telling me about a young fast bowler of ours.
Who
is not playing cricket for anyone called
Egyptian?
He's at one of the secondary schools, right? Yeah.
Egyptian.
So Egyptian. What I'm saying is that people recognize the talent in that person.
Right, right.
And so what Floyd is saying could come to the floor because if you have, he played some game, right? Some game in recent times and everybody was saying, well, he doesn't play cricket for a club or anyone.
Yeah.
But in terms of the interrelationship between the formal coaching of the West Indies staff and the macro level.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to tie in? Because if you have a Floyd Rifo coaching the A team, he plays a role locally here in Barbados with the UWA/CCC, and then you have calling him Mr. Brown in the Leewards,
right?
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Black in Jamaica coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd Rifo and his coaching team there have been delegated to deal with the young upcoming cricketers in the Caribbean at that level of the A team.
Right.
When these guys move away from Floyd for a month or two and go back home to Jamaica, the programs that, and other territories, I should say, the programs that there are being made then to undergo, should they not tie in to the ethics and the ethos of the broad coaching at the macro level that Floyd and his team have been unfolding for these guys? Because I think there is where you would get a problem. It has to be a uniform manner, in a uniform manner, and a manner that is synchronized so that you have uniformity of effort in terms of that collective structure. So there needs to be some structure put in place that what is done at that level does not start to deteriorate. So the other thing that is going to be important, this A team was a unique A team, and I say why. This A team, if you remember, Chairman of Select Brown said he wanted to give Blackwood, but he didn't call the name, some of the test players, Blackwood, Dalridge, Powell, and these guys who would not normally be picked in an A team, the opportunity to regain form and confidence, if you remember that. So we will probably have some other players who will now form the part of the regular A team structure to replace those guys who will then go on to the test team. So it is going to be important for Floyd to tap into the a relationship with the selectors to get their thinking as to the players that, you know, they don't have to say the four or five players, but they can have a broad base of 10 or 12 players and say, well, these are the ones we're looking to work with, so that Floyd is in a proactive way and his team zoom in on those guys.
Let me say this. Cricket West Indies. Cricket West Indies is about to start a program where they have standardized coaching across the region.
Standardized coaching, okay.
Yes, across the region, across the franchises, you know, where obviously the coaching and coaching the players, everything will be at a certain level in terms of across the board, in terms of how you structure the practice sessions. You know, how guys should develop is supposed to be a 12-month program. Going across these branches in terms of preparation of players outside of competition, which is important. You know, that's where you put in all the backroom work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wait till the competition begins and then you want to put in all the work. So when it's downtime, that's the time where you put in all the work in terms of developing cricketers and developing the skills, you know, picking out the weaknesses, improving on the strengths, getting all the franchises to operate at a high level in terms of producing and developing cricketers. So I think that's the way forward, and that's something that should be done for a long time. So once the coaching and
and the players playing and operate as well, then you'll see better cricket is coming forward.
Interesting. Can I have, okay, just before you continue, 4341790, you can certainly give us a call. And just what you thought, Leslie Reefer Jr. is saying to us, he's saying the Barbados cricket supplies on the 13 final will be coming up. We certainly have to give him some promotion. It's Pastor Road Jr. up against ICBL Empire at Wanderers on Sunday. And that's March 18th, starting 11:30 a.m. And then additionally, he's saying the Barbados cricket supplies on the 17T20 blast begins on Saturday, March 17th. 10 clubs is going to be at Sheffield and Boscobel. And that is information coming from someone who's going to reach as far as Floyd. Of course, we expect Leslie Reefer Jr. to become the top umpire in the world very soon. Back to you.
Yeah, I want to follow up that comment by Floyd. Huh? I understand standardization in terms of coaching, but Floyd, for years, I will say this, where we fell down is the individual programs. You remember you spoke about Shepherd, and you said that Coach Eswick was trying to say, well, he had about five different things he was trying to adjust with him. Now, that is an individual.
Hold on. Needs to be adjusted, not trying to adjust, because he can't adjust.
Needs to be adjusted. Okay. No, that is an individual player. Standardization and coaching will not help him. What will help him is that when he goes back to his home base, that the same program that Mr. Eswick would have identified for him, whoever is the coach that he falls under, they have to have that relationship with Mr. Eswick and your team so that program continues.
So this is where you say the standard is going to be standardized?
Yeah. Obviously reporting.
Right.
Yes, you talk about standardizing, but obviously you will have individual programs for players as well.
Okay. 44.
Reporting structure is very important.
44170, give us a call and certainly participate. Let's talk about this young man, Graham Cornwall. He was part of your setup. He did very well, of course, in Jamaica and, of course, in his hometown. What do you think about him? Talk to him about Cornwall.
I think Cornwall is a very good cricketer.
Mm-hmm.
Cornwall, yes. Warren Cannon got 31 wickets in the 3 test matches, but the pressure that Cornwall built at the next game, it was tremendous. You know, he took away the England captain. He took away his time every time he bowled at him. So I thought Cornwall had a very good series as well. He got about 19, 20 wickets in the series. They thought he bowled very well. He built the pressure, and he's very consistent. You know, you can use him as an attacking spinner, a defensive spinner. You can get a lot out of him from a cricket match. He bowls a lot of overs as well. You know, so
what about his batting?
I think his bowling, and probably I lay down my bed at some nights and I try to remember all the spinners that batted in the regional cricket in my time, and all the spinners I saw. I mean, I've not come up with many spinners that's better than Cornwall.
What do you like about him as a spinner?
He's at you all the time. You know,
good variation.
You know, he has good pace on the ball. Like chipping and driving, it's hard to get on the wicket.
Okay.
And he spins the ball. He's got a good eyeball. And he bowls a lot of balls in good areas. I think he's a good cricketer. His batting, he has the ability to hit the ball. Very strong in his feet. You know, he comes in, he rotates his straight well, and he scores quickly. You know, he can put the pressure back onto the bowling team. Obviously, again, you know, it's some stuff that we were working on throughout the series that he has to improve on. And, you know, as you said,
you said some stuff. Would you give him a bet? Because he's quite big.
No, but you see Andrew talking about his size. You know, but I understand he went to Colorado.
Okay.
And he lost about 50 pounds. So what you see now is a lighter Cornwall.
But thank God he did, because I saw him recently and I haven't seen that weight loss at all. Where did he lose his weight from? I didn't see it at all.
No.
Oh my God. He's got to do some work, man.
He's got
some work, man.
He looks smaller than me.
Marginally.
But obviously, yes, Andrew, you know, we got to continue work.
What I was saying about Conwar, right, is if you don't intend to elevate Conwar, you should not. In other words, once you give him an opportunity to play and he performs, it means he's eligible for selection at the higher level. And that is where you have a problem, a difficulty with people saying that he shouldn't play or he should play. Once he has been placed...
Pearson, would you pick him in test cricket?
Yes, I would. Because I'll tell you why.
Okay,
fair enough. If the selectors believe that he should be in the mix-up with the 18, which is the group of cricketers that are at the level that they should now be elevated to the international level, and he continues to perform, then there's no reason not to pick him. Mm-hmm. If you do not believe that he should be in there at all because of some reason outside of his cricketing ability, then you cannot select him to perform.
44-17.
Can't give him that opportunity to perform.
44-17-90. Floyd, you wouldn't have a difficulty in Congo playing test cricket.
Right on.
Okay. Right on. So you're satisfied.
What we have to do is continue to support the young man.
Right.
We have to continue to encourage him. Mm-hmm. He has to lose some more weight, and then not only losing the weight, but build some more power, some more strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we should focus on, I think me personally, ever focus on him training in an NFL style in terms of the bats. You know,
okay.
Garwal is not going to feel that deep miracle. Garwal is a good slipper. What we need to do is improve his slip catching, make him a very good slipper.
Right. And
what we have to do also is focus on his movement left and right.
Yeah, but he may not be a slipper all the time.
But let's listen to me, Andrew.
Yeah, but I think it's a reasonable
question.
225 without loss, no slip. Back rep white, got rest for coming it off, no slip.
98% they tell you you're going to have a slip in a test match.
Well, not the current captaincy of Jason Holden and company. We don't see the slip at all. Yes, of course.
So I'm saying to you that we focus on improving the slip catching. We make him a very good slipper. Then we focus on lateral movement.
Yes.
Left and right. Try to move speed to the left, speed to the right. Make sweet feeling and speeding inside the circuit and cover ground quickly. That's what his training should be focused on. Obviously, then you work on knocking off some more pounds and then developing that into muscle.
Right.
I think it can be done. You may not think so. But I think,
Well, there's not much evidence to support that. From what I've seen, okay, fair enough. Fine. I'd love to see him lose some weight and play the script. He's got the ability. Can we take a call? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason. Yes. Floyd Reef is in the house. The man who will take over in 2 years is the best in his head coach. I'm going to promote that. Hello, welcome.
Hi. Hello, good evening.
How are you?
Yes, I'm good, sir.
Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from?
Christchurch.
Oh, Christchurch. Okay, fine.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I just have one brief comment or question.
Yeah, sure.
I find that listening to the program earlier, very good talking about fast wave and the potential in the region that we have the fast wave.
Caller, we can hardly hear you. Caller, we can hardly hear you. Could you just speak up a little bit? Just turn up the speaker, as good old Grainer would say.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Yeah, earlier in the program, you were talking about fast building, the potential in the region, the emerging fast build, et cetera. Now, my question is, or my comment is that I find out when we have players breaking to the team, players breaking to the team, we have a lot of conversation about the ability for these players to get faster and stuff like that. And sometimes, they come to recollection, some of these players have been seen three, four years, and they're not getting any quicker. So, my question is, if you take a look at persons like Rabada, I think Pat Cummins on Australian first team, those guys tend to be seen pretty young.
Right.
They're going at good pace. I find in recent times, our fast players are not, let's say, ability consistently 87, 86, 88 inch. So we have a different category, or the category when we talk about our fast players. But then we also talk about the ability to get faster. And our guys aren't necessarily getting faster.
Well, Floyd is here. I'm sure you heard you heard the question, Floyd.
Yeah.
Yes. Let the head coach Floyd respond to you, caller.
Again, you go back to strength and conditioning. You go back to the biomechanics labs. If you look at Rabada came out of the youth cricket
probably the same size as a Shamar Holder or and a Zari Joseph. But you realize the program that Cricket South Africa had him on, he was on a six to nine month training program.
Right.
It's on strength and conditioning, talking about involving the science, the labs and stuff like that in terms of the testing and the training. I would rather look a different athlete in a 9 month period. You know, be in the Caribbean again, you know, we don't let the embrace the science of the game in terms of, you know, developing players in terms of the strength and fitness and strength and conditioning. You know, if you have obviously the science lab at university, you know, Cricket West Indies, you know, should you know, come on board. And we've had many conversations with them in terms of, you know, coming together with us and bringing the players to the labs and introducing them to the terms of the science of the game. This is important. This is what international teams do all over the world. So that's what you mean. You see our brother bowling at 145 clips, bowling that the first ball in a test match, and then bowling it in the 15th or 16th over in a third or fourth spell. There's no reason why. You know, there's a lot that went into his training and getting him ready to do that. You know, we our bowlers, yes, you know, we have the pace, just those other guys, you know, we bowl fast first spells, but the second and third spells, our pace drop. Reason being because of, again, the conditioning, the strength of the body.
Right.
You know, some things, some guys have poor alignment, you know, the mechanics are not flowing properly. So there's a lot of things that come into play. May you compare our brother to our Caribbean bowlers. And once we are exposed to those things and that type of equipment and science and understanding game in terms of that, our fast bowlers will be bowling at 85, 90 clips consistently all day.
So Floyd, do you believe that the average West Indian fast bowler really buys into, you know, the strength and conditioning? If you look at the bodies of the bowlers that have been around over the last 8 years or so, you cannot really point to a bowler who you've seen develop physically, that you could see a difference from their initial entrance to cricket and a few years on. Some of them have deteriorated or some of them have remained the same. So the development we talk about with a Rabada or even with one like Stark, for example, you know, there's a big difference between Stark at the beginning and Stark now. But I think this has to do with an individual desire to really build the physical part of the game as well as the skills.
Floyd?
What feeling do you get from being around cricketers? I can say that at the beginning of the 18 series, you know, we spoke to guys about hard work, you know, about the work ethic. You know, once you get players to buy in to what you want and what you wanted to achieve, and you show them that, you know, this is the result and this is what can happen if you do certain things and players buy into it. And obviously, if players have confidence, these are Caribbean people, are Caribbean young men. You know, once you get the confidence, once you get their confidence, they're confident in you, you can get them to do anything that you want them to do.
Okay, let's go and take another call. Hello, what? No, 4417 90. Just go back to Dr. Four there in the stats. I mean, we spoke highly of the performances of Jamal Warrican, and of course, we spoke of Cornwall. When you look at the stats, then was there any disappointment for you from coming out of the 18 that we could talk to Floyd about? Did he expect any better performances? Anyone?
I only mentioned really the more established players like Powell and Brooks not really breaking through and dominating that the wicketkeeper batsman did so well, and Raymond Reefer chipped in with the bat, but it seemed to be in a difficult batting environment.
So Brooks, so what was the performance there with Brooks? I mean, how
129 and 128. That's from five innings for each of them. But the English suffered a similar fate. No one from the English team got over 167 runs.
Right.
So it puts the achievements of Hamilton and Durridge into perspective. they'd have to do some sort of conversion for these.
Right. No, perhaps what we can ask Floyd now is the performance of Shamar Brooks. What do you expect a little bit more from him? What do you think of him, though, as a cricketer?
Shamar's a very good cricketer.
Mm.
He has all the attributes to become a big player.
Okay.
My only reservation about Shamar, as I told him before, that you know, he has to put in a lot more work because you know everything comes to him too easy.
Okay.
You know, so even during the series, you know, coming on to the end of the series, you know, he turns out his work ethic, not saying that his work ethic is not good, but because of his skill level, he has to, he can put in, he can do a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of work would you want to see him put in? That's a fair question.
Let me just give you an example.
Mm.
We would be doing a drill.
Right.
A difficult drill.
Mm.
Shamar would come in, in 20 minutes, have the drill, don't pat everything solid, everything good. Mm. You know, it might take another guy half hour to 40 minutes. You know, but instead of, you know, going for that extra half hour.
Okay.
You know, he said, okay, of course I got it. Get me going for it. Mm. You know, but. I guess though he understands now that you know in order to play international cricket, you're playing against guys that are in 500 balls a day.
Right.
So Steve Smith and those guys you see on television, the test average is 60 yards.
Right.
Those guys put in the work, put in a lot of backroom work. So once he understands what he needs to do within the next 2 years in terms of playing cricket. So I know I'm confident now you're gonna see a different Shamar Brooks in terms of scoring runs and be more consistent because yes, he has all the skills.
Right.
It's just a matter of increasing that backroom work.
What about Dorridge? Okay. What about Dorridge?
Dorridge is a very good player. Actually, Dorridge is probably the most balanced batter.
That
we have. It's very balanced at the crease.
Could you explain this for those who really don't know? What do you mean?
Balanced.
You need to explain these
things. Front and back. You know.
I'm glad you said that.
I've been saying that for about
2 years.
People think I'm mad.
Okay, I think we got a call coming in from Trinidad. I've been told that Cupid is technical director. Let's go to the land of Calypso then. Hello, welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mason. Good evening, Mr. Reefer, and to your other guest whose name I don't know right now.
Dr. Ford, who's a dermatologist.
Dr. Ford. Yeah.
And Dr. Pearson, who's an ophthalmologist. What do you have to share with us, sir?
Gentlemen, I'm calling from Trinidad to put a different perspective on things.
Sure.
In Trinidad, we have a number of problems. We have a geographical divide where you do not see cricketers from Tobago coming over to make the Trinidadian team and far less the West Indies team by extension. You have an economic divide where people who are not financially secure or strong have no chance of making any cricket team whatsoever, and therefore they don't get a look in. Then there's a racial divide where if you're born on the wrong side of the tracks in certain geographical areas, you don't even make any team whatsoever.
A racial divide, caller?
Yes, well, you have been.
Could you explain that? I'm keen to know what you mean by that.
Let's put it this way. If you're a person of African descent living in an East Indian area, you have to be a Brian Lara to make it. And if you're an East Indian guy in a predominantly African area, you have to be a Sunil Gavaskar or Sachin Tendulkar to make it. And you're being placed as and when you're being called upon to bowl, you're being called upon to bowl spin. Casing question, Trinidad, West Indies have only created one pace bowler of East Indian origin, and that's Ravi Rampal.
Right. Oh dear.
Because you're stereotyped. But that's just the beginning, gentlemen. What I'm asking you all, being from another island, do we have a situation where the best players are not chosen because of either prejudice or that they are not looked upon? Because in Trinidad, that goes on a long way. So the best cricketers never play cricket for Trinidad. So I'm asking you, is that a problem there in Barbados as well?
Mm. Is that a problem, Doctor?
I don't get that impression.
Mm. Floyd, you're intimately involved. Is that a problem?
No, not in Barbados.
Not in Barbados. But of course, caller, I mean, most people in Barbados are black, you know. And the whites no longer play. The very few white people play in Barbados, so we wouldn't have that problem. Is that not true, Doc? I mean, they don't play anymore, really, apart from Young Bethel.
They only play in one place in Trinidad, and that club tends to dominate things. And what they tend to do is just simply buy up all the available talent around and therefore hold a monopoly on things. So much so they have two teams playing Premier One team cricket now. And I can't see a side like Pickwick having two teams in Division One in Barbados.
No.
So what does your cricket association think about that? I mean, you've outlined some significant problems
Gentlemen, you all have been aware of that. And you all should be aware of it. And if not, I'm taking the opportunity now to let you all know that's the case.
Yeah, I'm aware.
My two sons, we have been overlooked because we are not necessarily from the wrong side of the tracks, just that we're in the wrong part of the country.
Mm-hmm. And you are what? Are you Indian or are you Negro?
I am of African descent, and my children are of mixed descent.
Okay.
Their mother is of mixed descent, and they, by extension, are also by mixed descent.
Their mother will be Indian then?
No, she's not. She's mixed between Indian and African descent. Oh. What do you call it, Trinidad or Dugla?
Oh, Dugla. All right. Wonderful.
And children have features similar to that of their mother.
Okay.
So they are neither here or there.
Mm.
I think Calypso back in 1962 said they have to be split in two if they have to go back to their country of origin.
But sir, isn't that driven from the socio-economic background that in terms of even the politics? Because that,
right.
So what you're saying is a microcosm of that.
Right.
And before I can see where you will get that problem not only in sports, you probably get it in the work environment where people will be overlooked for jobs because of that the same factors that you're linked.
The current embargo with the Chief Justice in Trinidad, those who are tending to oppose him are of East Indian descent.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so
those who tend to support him are of African descent.
Right, you can see there that.
We're obviously not talking politics.
But do you think
Mr. Archie is going to survive? Do you think he's going to survive? You don't
seem to be
sure, though.
No, he's not. He has to go. But that politics aside.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion, sir? No, time is coming against us. We have Floyd River in the studio, right?
Right.
Part of what Floyd has done, people think that it now started. I watched Floyd River when he was playing for the Barbados team, and he was a mentor for guys like Tino Best and others, and when Courtney Brown was the captain. Floyd has an open policy where, like, your sons that you're referring to, I'm sure that if you, in a situation like that, you could tap into, I'm calling Floyd by name, but you can tap into the program at UWA, where people like Floyd and maybe Roland Butcher and others can have a look or get knowledge of your sons and any cricketers who have suffered that failure in Trinidad or anywhere in the region. And they have programs that they can unearth that talent or bring that talent to the fore, right? So I'm just making that suggestion that all is not lost. You can look at other avenues. And sometimes we welcome cricketers coming out to Barbados to play in our local competition, right? And I don't know what your boys are doing, if they are studying, but the university have a program where, you know, they don't turn it into a club structure. Right. So you can look at that and maybe look at, not only in Barbados, I'm not sure how Jamaica is set up, but Barbados being so close in terms of the proximity to Trinidad.
Right.
Those are things that you can look at.
And I appreciate it, but what is sad, politics again, that it's cheaper for me to fly my children to Miami than it is to Barbados.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. That is very true.
Even worse, and to make it worse, gentlemen, I'm a citizen of Barbados.
Oh, okay.
My mother was from Howell Cross Road.
Howell Cross Road? Nice. Wonderful.
She grew up alongside West Hall.
Wonderful.
And the thing about this was back in the 30s and 40s, and she was an avid cricketer. She played at St. Barnabas Church, and she one day hit a six and broke the window pane.
what has happened to the native West Indies side.
Right, so I can come to Barbados, I can bring my children. But
right.
The thing about it is that there are thousands of young men in Trinidad, for example, because this is where I live, this is where I know, that cannot come to Barbados, that do not have that opportunity. So what they do, they pick up football, they pick up basketball, or they just hang at the side of the road with no mentors, no adults, teaching them the right things. And hence we have a crime problem now in Trinidad. While those who are the privileged, who are privileged, keep the things to themselves.
But there was a scouting program that Floyd mentioned earlier too. I mean, I'm just giving suggestions. Maybe they named it, you know, speaking to people, if they can compile names of creators that people might need to look at, that might also help, you know, in terms of bringing young creators to the fore. I wouldn't want to believe that all will be lost.
Well, I still live with hope, and
okay.
I intend to make my boys the best that they can be. One is avidly studying, and he may end up in Barbados at Cavill to do his law in a couple of years'
right,
time because he's currently in the
level.
Right. And the other one, he's doing maritime studies.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he'll end up in the university system.
Right.
Probably might place for combined colleges and campuses. But the sad thing is that they cannot get a look in while they live here in Trinidad.
They have to
go overseas, which is the point I was making in the beginning. And Barbados should pass itself on the back and say, thank God we are not in that problem like what's happening in Trinidad.
Seriously.
Because it's a privileged thing for some. And like I said earlier, this is even more sad. Tobago has a lot of talent, but that talent from Tobago, which is only 22 miles away from Trinidad, is never seen.
Caller,
play for Trinidad.
Well, time is up, caller, but I'd love to continue this conversation with you very, very soon. Certainly, we're going to take your number and certainly engage you sometime. And maybe fly you in, because you're a citizen of Barbados, so you shouldn't have a problem in coming. Maybe we'll pay for your ticket, bring you in and get you in the studio. I think we need to continue this discussion.
You can stay by me,
one of my many houses.
Both my wife and I are citizens, but because I'm a citizen by descent, the citizenship goes to my children.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. It's internationally. Like if your parents were born in the United States and they are full U.S. citizens, you can become a citizen of the U.S., but your children, if you live outside of the U.S., cannot become citizens of the U.S.
Interesting.
Exactly. It's an international thing.
Interesting, caller. Just is before you go, what part of Trinidad are you from?
I'm from Maraval.
You're from Maraval. Isn't that one of those posh areas in Trinidad? Maraval?
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, the posh area.
Of course it is.
Posh, within posh areas, there are enclaves of poverty.
Oh, wonderful. And caller, I'm very nosy. What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living?
I'm going to give you the international pitch. I make people's lives better. I make the environment live up to its full potential.
Mm.
You ask again, what do I do for a living? I maintain swimming pools.
All right.
Wonderful.
We're going to take your name and number.
We'd love to have you on the show.
That's
it's really good. And talking to you. All right. Floyd, well, time has come. It's gone. You enjoyed your time here. And I'm sure you did. Were you happy to be in my company, Floyd? Not often that you are, really. You tend to run for me, Floyd. But it's really good to have you. I'm sure that Cupid will give us at least another minute. No. And my final question to you, we've had serious challenges in West Indies cricket. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel? Final question.
There's always light at the end of the tunnel, yes. I see light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we have the talent in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that. It's just a matter of once we get structured right, you know, across the franchises, and once we start to build, you know, on the 15, on the 17, on the 19 cricket, you know, on the base, the way how we hold the course in the stand, you know, we need to get back our identity in terms of how we play cricket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that we've lost,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've lost our cultural way of playing, the way how we play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once we put the structures and the policies and stuff in place, mm-hmm. you know, coming all the way through the system, mm-hmm. then yes, you know, it's late at the end of the tunnel. You know, we have a lot of talented young men over there.
Mm-hmm.
So they just need the mm-hmm. you know, once we get the proper infrastructure and the collaborations and everything going, you know, and the guys knowing the history
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and everybody playing for that purpose and that cause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they believe, Andrew, you know, if you're involved in something, you got to know the history of it.
Mm-hmm. History is important, yes.
It's important. Mm-hmm. You can get these young men, you know, the history of the game, mm-hmm. what guys played for in the past, you know, what the past greats represent. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were playing, they got to understand that they're representing 6 to 8 million Caribbean
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that have to go into it. But yes, it's like at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once we get these young men to understand, you know, purpose.
Purpose is important. Beautiful. Well, thanks to you, Floyd. Time is caught up. This time flies so quickly. That's because Dr. Yeah. Ford is in the studio. Dr. Ford. And thank you, Pearson, for coming through and talking to us. Oh, by the way, we were supposed to hear from Saviv. We got that recorded, so not to worry, we're going to do it next week. And of course, we also are going to be hearing from Jeff Boycott. We've got them recorded. I know we promoted them, but we'll certainly come back and give that information to you next week. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow.
Greatest cricketer on earth or Mars, anyone can tell you it's the great Sir Sobers. This handsome Barbadian lad really knows his work. Batting or bowling, he's the cricket king, no joke. Three cheers for Captain Sobers. Win or lose, the spectators are always pleased with the greatest team on earth. Who else but the West Indies? Men like Butcher, Joe Solomon, Kanaya Davis, Nelson Rodriguez, Conrad Hunt and White Gibbs, and the wicked keeper Hendricks. Australia, you lost the West Indies, it's past the trophy. Belong to us. I say you lost, and you know you lost, I am. Australia, speak your mind. Australia, don't mind you lost. Better luck next time. Australian jokers sent on crash helmet to protect the batsman from Hall and Charlie Griffith. I felt so sorry for Simpson, he tried but in vain. When Griffith and Hall, wickets start to fall like rain. Three cheers for Hall and Griffith. O'Neill went Australia making big riot. When he was facing Griffith and Hall, he so flew in fire. When O'Neill made real fast bowling, is to see him ducking. And then the very guy telling so much lie, telling the world how grimly chucking. Australia, you lost the West Indies, it's past the trophy. Belong to us. I say you lost and you know you lost. Australia, speak your mind. Australia, don't mind you lost. Better luck next time. Australia was strong, but only on paper. The forecast in Barbados, they pulled the scoreboard. But Rohan and Seymour carry up we score. Oh Lord, three cheers for Nelson Kanai. Special praise to Conrad Hunter, Oguna, Brian Davis, Solomon, Lance Gibbs, Hendricks and Francis Butcher. All the boys fought gallantly under Sobers' captaincy. So hip 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 hooray for a glorious victory. Australia, you lost the West Indies.
His boss Warren Trophy belongs to us. I say you're lost, you know you're lost, come on. Australia, speak your mind. Australia, don't mind your loss.
Well, 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 there you have it. That was the Andrew Mason Show out of Barbados. He has given us special permission to carry this show live. I hope whoever were listening would have enjoyed every moment of it. And we invite you to be with us on Sunday at 6 p.m. when we will continue talking about cricket, especially West Indies cricket. By then, we will know how West Indies are progressing in the efforts to reach the 2019 World Cup. Good night and enjoy the remainder of the evening. And you can have an opportunity to go back in our archives and listen to every moment of the show. God bless you. And talk with you Sunday if you can afford the time to be with us. Good night. Good night.